It's page 120. This is a very beautiful page. It is the experience of the seer where he sees the true reality behind the external appearance of forms, behind the play of external manifestations. There is a world that is permanent. This physical world as we see it is changeable. Here, truths are temporary, imperfect, incomplete. But in a way, we say they are incomplete and imperfect because somewhere we know that there is a perfection. That is why you can call it imperfect. When we say something is not as it should be, that means something in us knows what should be, what is beautiful, perfect, without any flaw. That is the world that the seer has, the world of life, the perfect world. Whereas as we experience the world and life with our instruments of expression and experience. These instruments themselves are imperfect. My way of seeing, my way of receiving or imbibing experience is small, is limited. My vision is incomplete. So here, sometimes in, he uses the word trance. Trance is not sleep. Trance is when one withdraws from the surface consciousness and enters into a deeper state. It is a deeper layer of the being. Man has many layers in his being. When you enter in the inmost layer of the being, you see things as they are. When we see or live on the surface, we see things with our surface sensations and capacities, and what we see will be naturally incomplete. So in dream and trance and muse, before our eyes, across the subtle vision's inner field, that inner vision, vision that is a world of forms, but subtle. It is not dense. It is not dull. It is not heavy. It doesn't have the weight of inert matter. This is called sukshma drishti, that which is very subtle. There is a form, but there is no dull heaviness which accompanies our nature. Our nature is in ignorant. And that ignorance always comes with us whenever we experience things. We see it through our instrument of knowledge. Our instrument of knowledge is incomplete. But some beings, in their inspired moments, like the rishis, the seers, the poets. Poet is a seer, the word itself says seer. Across the subtle vision's inner field, wide, rapturous landscapes, fleeting from the sight, is passing through the world of life. Life is energy. Life is movement. And he's moving through this world. Beautiful landscapes. As if the landscapes are radiating joy. There is no flaw. When something is without a flaw, it radiates a kind of light of delight, the delight of existence. Life is, all creation is as the Divine has created from the delight of manifestation, Sat Chit Ananda. That Ananda which is a projection of his joy of creation, all creators make. When I create or you create, for no reason except for the delight of making something, there is always a sense of happiness. And I'm not obliged to make something. I do it because I'm happy to do it. That sense of delight, which is always at the core of life, which is why when Sri Aurobindo is describing life in his poem Life, he calls it mystic miracle, daughter of delight, life, thou ecstasy. It is a projection of the Divine's delight of manifestation. There is one aspect of the Divine where he withdraws from all things that aspect of the infinite, absolute, nirvanic vastness, the Brahman. Or the other aspect, where he projects himself. What is himself? That himself is projected in everything. If you know how to see, he is present in everything. You don't have to see him in special places or in special moments. If you know how to see, he's there in every little thing also. That beauty, that joy of manifestation, the figures of the perfect kingdom pass, and behind them leave a shining memories trail. Sometimes it is from these things that the inspired writer, the artist, the painter, he draws an image which is not a copy of the external world, which is actually a vision of what is behind the world as it appears on the surface. The world is as it appears on the surface, we see with our imperfect vision. Sometimes we break out of that imperfection. Or if I am a poet, I see reality, not the appearance of reality. Then I see that joy. So that is where one can say imagination is truer than external form. Imagination is that which makes an image, that image-making faculty. And I am in touch with that world of images, because when there is a multiplicity, the divine creates a world of diversity and multiplicity. It's the one who becomes the many. And in the many, he puts himself in everything. And if I can perceive that, I see him in all things. That is my imagination. You say, oh, it's your imagination. It's not true. Well, it is truer than truth. Imagination is often more true than what we call truth. Because it's limited, our truth is limited to the material form. The vision of a person who has a deeper experience sees another truth, many other truths. And behind them leave a shining memory's trail. Imagine scenes or great eternal worlds. Dream caught or sensed. Dream caught is when you see something, when your outer mind, your outer being falls asleep. Like in a dream, you enter into another world. Your relationship with the physical external world has become quiet, or sensed, experienced, not by your outer nature, but experienced by sometimes a contact, a touch, a sound, not necessarily a sight. They touch our hearts with their depths. And if I can read that text, I read sometimes a line of poetry, and I respond to it because what responds in me is my inner being. When I read something beautiful, you might feel a sense of a deep experience that does not come from the surface, it comes from your inner being. Unreal seeming, on the outside you say it is not true. People write all kinds of things on the world or life, which is very beautiful, very touching. You say, but all this is not true. It is more true. It is more true because it is more lasting. What is happening on the surface are like the waves on the sea. They pass. What is true is really that which is permanent below the surface or behind the surface. Unreal seeming, yet more real than life. Because life keeps on moving, these things are permanent. Happier than happiness, truer than things true. If dreams these were, or captured images, dreams truth made false earth's vain realities. What we call reality would be false. What these things show us sometimes are more true. when we enter into our inner life, this is the other side of life. Life is a projection of a divine energy, and if I can come in touch with that universal energy, I see marvels and wonders that are more true than all the external play of expression and movements and diversity. They are so temporary. They come, they go, they don't stay. What stays is the thrill of the inner being that has been touched by maybe a moment of perfection. And that lasts. That is the thing that is what we are looking for actually in life. That is why when things are very imperfect, we are not at all happy. Something in us asks for perfection. But we have never outwardly seen perfection. But the need for it is very deep. Because it is part of us. It is us. So Earth's outward realities are not real. Dreams' truths are more true. Made Earth's vain realities become false in comparison. In a swift, eternal moment, it's a play of apparent opposites, but it is not. A moment which for a little while catches perfection, or you have a touch of the eternal contact, the contact with the divine. You just see a flight of a bird. That's all. That flight, the joy of his voice as he sings, you have come in touch with something absolute, perfect. It may have lasted a few seconds, but those are the seconds that matter. Not all the little details of daily common life. If dreams these were, or captured images, dreams' truth made false Earth's vain realities. In a swift eternal moment fixed, there live, or ever recalled, come back to longing eyes. That is what comes back. Poet after poet has sung this. They catch something just for a little while. We have caught a moment of perfection. That is the moment that has made my life worthwhile. The rest of my everyday, daily activities, they pass. They are like waves on the water. They don't last. Calm heavens of imperishable light, illumined continents of violet peace, oceans and rivers of the mirth of God, and griefless countries under purple suns. He gives the image of violet and purple. Usually it is the color of power, the color of life. The vital world, his mother usually uses the image of mauve, purple. Emotion is mauve and the vital is purple. That is why people have the image of power, the greatness of power, in the image of wearing purple, giving symbol of something that is masterful, that is dominant, that is great. And these are like heaven. Heaven is stable. Heaven is a perfection. Heaven is not changeable. Whatever heaven it may be, this is not the highest heaven. This is the heaven of the world of life. Every world has its own heaven. There's a physical heaven, there is a vital heaven, there's a mental heaven. Each world has its own plane of absoluteness. It's a universe of different planes. The universe is not flat. Creation is not done once and for all. On the one hand, on the surface, things keep on growing, coming, going. They come forward, they go away, they disappear. Things are born, things die. There is a constant play of change. Why do things change? Because perhaps behind the play of change, there is an attempt by some universal force to realize that permanence. We want permanence. Permanence cannot last unless it is complete. We are incomplete beings. In us, things are not finished. We are imperfect, incomplete, and that is why the sense of change is so constant. But if we could, even for a second, come in touch with that which is absolute. Absolute is perfect. That will last. It can happen in our little lives also. If even for a few moments in your meditation or when you plunge your gaze into the eyes of Mother, the whole universe might be wiped off. Only that counts. And those moments are the ones that matter. The rest doesn't matter. What has happened before, what will happen afterwards, those things are of very relative value. They will come, they will go, they don't last. But that moment of perfect luminosity, of the depth of light and love that you have just for a second even, or a few seconds caught, those are the moments that give our life meaning. Those are the things that count. The rest doesn't count. We have done so many things in our lives. You've gone here, you've gone there, you've done this, you've done that. All that is like writing on the sand, the water passes, it's gone. What matters is what you have become from within, where you have entered, what you have seen, what you have lived. So this is the vital heaven. This is the world of the glory of life. Life, this, both sides. This world, griefless, he says griefless countries. Because wherever there is grief, there is some distortion of joy. Joy is perfection. When that joy is not there, something that means there is a twist. That is not being, I am not being able to transmit that joy. Something in me is incapable or imperfect. So though I may receive the light, it passes through my instrument. My being is an instrument. This instrument is perhaps not suitable yet, not complete, not pure, not strong. So what comes out of me like a poet's song, like a painter's painting, will not be as it should be. And this sometimes you have comments of the mother when she says, this painting could have been an expression of something much more beautiful. But you could not hold on to that experience. It has passed on through a being whose consciousness was perhaps incapable, like a vase that was small, in which something is poured and it spills out, or even worse, a leaky pot. So things are lost. We keep on receiving forces, but we lose them. We can't hold on to them. Our beings are not made ready. So again and again the emphasis that this yoga, integral yoga, keeps on saying, you have to perfect the instrument as well. Body, life, mind, every part of the being has to be perfected. It is not only seeking for the inmost soul. That is not sufficient. Every part is a divine manifestation, has to participate in this manifestation, and we don't. It is not easy, it is very difficult. It is millennia of, you see, the old pull, the pull of inertia, the pull of inconscience. To root it out will take some time, but that is what it should be finally. Finally, when will that finally happen? It is for them to decide, for the divine to decide, not for us to judge. Unless we become divine, we will never know. So this, once a star of bright, remote idea, or imagination's comet trail of dreams. It's like the beautiful trail the comet leaves behind. It passes through the sky of the mind. Imagination is part of your mind. It is an image-making faculty. And in that, the trail of light that passes through the mind, or something which is idea. Idea is actually not fact. Idea is abstract. Fact is what has been set down on earth, what is established on the earth, a material fact. Idea is not a material fact, but it is a fact on another level. You have to first have a conception. You have to first have a form in your imagination or your mind of that world of perfection. Then and only then can you try to put it into execution. If you do not have that, you cannot manifest anything that is great. You are stuck with the reality that is right in front of you. So this world exists in its own world of the bright idea. Yet, or imagination's comet trail of dreams took now a close shape of reality. This is the world he is now visiting. This is the traveler of the worlds. Ashwapati has passed from the subtle physical into this world. And every canto will be as if he is moving from stage to stage. The universe is like a structure. And each structure has its own absolute. And that is now the world of life. The gulf between dream truth, earth fact, was crossed. What is usually earth fact, what we call true, and what you call dream, we make a big division, big separate what is a dream and what is a fact. He says what is dream is more true. Something exists already, that is why you see a dream. She had once told us in the class also, you cannot imagine something unless it exists somewhere. You cannot have an imagination. You cannot give it a form. It must exist somewhere. It must not. Maybe it doesn't exist in your surroundings. That is different. But there has to be a reality. Reality is not exactly what we see around us. That would be so poor. If all truth were only material truths, it would be a very shabby world. But there are world upon worlds upon worlds. And we can travel in these worlds of dream and thought and hope and aspiration. And that is where we get our energy to continue to try to live those things. If I have seen a dream of something marvelous and I try to live that, I try to put it into expression, that gives significance to my life. Though I have not been able to achieve it, I've made an attempt. There is a purpose. So the wonder worlds of life were dreams no more. His vision made all the unveiled its own. He sees these worlds. And it is so attractive. At each world of perfection, you feel like staying there. It's like entering a plane. And if it's perfect, it's harmonious, it's beautiful, there is no clash. You say, this is a heaven. Let me stay here. But we are not meant to stop there. So we have to move on. Move on to a world which the next stage will be perhaps in the beginning much less harmonious. So again you enter into a world of difficulties. But unless you meet a world of difficulties, you don't acquire the power, the knowledge, the ability to overcome the difficulty. You realize I have the strength, I have the consciousness, I can master these difficulties because I am not limited to this world only. Man is not limited to any one world. He can move from level to level in his experiences. His vision made all the unveiled its own. He saw them. Its own means he experienced them. He didn't see them only. You don't see from the outside like a spectator. A true spectator lives. He lives what he sees. You live a picture when you look at it. You see a beautiful painting and you live that moment. Live a landscape. That's why the artist draws landscapes which are not copies of the world as it is. An artist drew. It's true. He drew. He came from a land which was very full of mist and rain and fog. And then he came to a very sunny land. And he went to a field of corn. Blue sky, golden corn. And he was so amazed at the light in that landscape, in that there was not that light from the country he had come from. So he, instead of drawing a picture with one sun in the sky, he put seven suns, because he saw a country bursting with sunlight. And that light was something so powerful in his being that putting one sun in the sky would not be able to express what he is going through. So it is his reality. It is not a copy of the physical world. There are other realities also. So he put seven suns in the sky. In the beginning, people laughed. You put seven suns in the sky. He says, yes, but I see it like that. It's bursting with light. For me, the world up to now has been a world of fog and mist. And I've come to this country where it is so warm and so sunny. And he was so thrilled, because it gave him that delight of light. Light is something the artist loves, because the painting is done with the play of light and shade. There cannot be a play of shade if there is no light. So his wonder worlds of life were dreams no more. His vision made all the unveiled its own. Their scenes, their happenings met his eyes and heart. He saw with his eyes, he saw with his heart. This is what we have to learn to see. We see things only with our eyes, then we are very poor. We see the world with our heart, then we expand the field of our experience. You live from within outwards. You feel, you see with your heart. How can you see with your heart? You identify your emotions with what you see. You become one with the flower that you see. You can feel the flowering of the flower. You can feel all that has gone before, the push in nature, how much time and trouble that little flower has taken to blossom. It might die in a day, it doesn't matter. That embodiment of beauty and perfection. But I can feel the delight of that experience. This is what Mother describes in many of her prayers and meditations. She feels like the cherry tree. She felt one with the cherry tree. The cherry tree was as if running through her body. The sap of the cherry tree was like the blood in her body. She could feel it inside her. She had become the cherry tree for a while. Becomes one with nature. This is a marvel. Your life, the life of man doesn't, you don't have to go looking to go to different places to find wonderful experiences. You can just sit in one place and just look at the sky and look at a tree, and you can become one with infinity and eternity. Or you can feel the delight of God's creation in all things. Their scenes, their happenings met his eyes and heart, and smote them with pure loveliness and bliss. A breathless summit region drew his gaze. So from there, his eyes are glowing up. All this play of beauty and delight is actually as if a projection of a highest consciousness. Something above is projecting this universe. This universe as it is, it doesn't exist by itself. Every creation has a creator. Where is that creator? Where is that form the creator of the world of forms. He is at the highest level. Yes, a breathless summit region drew his gaze, whose boundaries jutted into a sky of self. Self is consciousness. The higher you rise, the wider your consciousness becomes. You see the vast creative consciousness that is sustaining, upholding everything. All things, the small and the vast, everything is part of that one creative energy. And the same gaze dipped towards a strange ethereal base. Below is the base of something that is energy also. Ether is energy. Ether is changeable. Ether is not solid. This world of matter seems illusory. Everything comes and everything goes. That world which is permanent and this world that is temporary, they are part of the same play of expression, as if the divine creates a world of something absolute which is there, and in us also, the world of passing energies in our actions, in our forms. Ether has no solidity. And when you look carefully, matter is ether. Matter is not solid. Therefore, everything in the world of matter also is temporary, breakable, not illusory in a sense. But he sees the whole play of manifestation is simply the delight of existence, the quintessence glowed of life's supreme delight. Quintessence, the inmost essence of the essence, the five times essence of what is the supreme ananda in the world of life. This is where the world of beauty, the world of all these forces that in us, around us, give us a sense of joy because of beauty. Beauty, love and joy go together. They're always part of the same, you might say, experience. On a spiritual and mysterious peak, only a miracle's high transfiguring line divided life from the formless infinite. You reach the highest peak, life is the world of form. And what is above life? Not death, life. It's an expression of that original conscious force. The original conscious force has no limit, has no name, has no fixed shape. It's not a creator. It is a vast expanse of consciousness, of energy. And sheltered time against eternity. It's as if everything was only an expression of that eternal, there would be no world of time. The eternal would swallow up everything. So this world of time in which we live is also real. It is as if there is a power that protects this world of time, which is not something that is illusory. It is an expression of the eternal. It holds in each particle the consciousness of the eternal. And that is why time is also, though it accepts limits, time lives within the framework of limitation. The eternal has no limit, has no beginning, has no end. The two are mutually complementary. One is an expression of the infinite, the other what seems to be the finite. The finite is also part of the infinite. The finite is man also. Finite is us also. We are also expressions of the infinite. Out of that formless stuff, time mints his shapes. That is why all things in time is made of the eternal. Mints is saved. It's like making coins, beautiful expressions of shape. They are permanent shapes. The flower will always have the same shape, the same color. It will not last. But it is as if a projection of that eternal flower that exists in the world of the infinite, in the world of form. The eternal child, the eternal anything. It could be a mountain or it could be a sky, it could be a bird, it could be a child, it could be whatever. It is always an expression of a creative energy that exists in that world permanently and is projected in this world of temporary manifestation where we come and go, where we last a while, but the essence remains forever. The eternal's quiet holds the cosmic act. The protean images of the world force have drawn the strength to be, the will to last. So these, the eternal's quiet, it is as if at the foundation, the play of the universe, which is a world of movement, of growth, of evolution, of change, of all that comes in order to go or in order to be. The will to be, the original principle behind all things, the will to be, the fundamental will that is there present in all things. It is there in Bergson's L'élan vital. It has to be in man that urge to be, not to be, to be. Even if it is for a while, the will to be. So here he gives you the image, the protean images, because Proteus was the name of a Greek god who had no fixed shape. He was one of a sea god. Sea is the world of life. Water or air, they symbolize the world of energy. In the world of life, there are all kinds of forces, all kinds of beings, and they are constantly changing. The same God, but whose force, whose form changes all the time. So the world force is changing its manifestation all the time. Things come, things go, but the force remains. The force of life does not go. The shape of forms go, replaced by other shapes. But what remains is not just the will to be, but the will to last from a deep ocean of dynamic peace. So the interplay of something static, strong, permanent, with something constantly changing, growing, evolving, and therefore movement. Static and dynamic at the same time. Okay. Stop here. It's too much.